All right, good morning. Welcome back. Season 2 is here already. I needed the break for the holidays, so I appreciate it. This is Confessions of a Serial Wife. If you haven't listened to any of my other podcasts, I really recommend that you start from the beginning so that you don't feel like I'm so scatterbrained, because I play off of a lot of stuff that I've already discussed. I don't edit these. You guys have heard this 1,000 times if you've been listening. The reason is because I can't. I don't have the mental mindset to go back and listen to everything that I've disclosed and not be totally humiliated enough to delete and chicken out of posting these. So if my phone rings or beeps or the dogs bark or whatever, that's what you get. Sorry about that. I can't do it. All right, so season 2, episode 1. This episode is actually stemming from the holidays, since we just got through those. And Happy New Year, by the way, and happy holidays to everybody, if I haven't said that in my holiday rant. So I want to talk about first alienation. And when you hear alienation, people always think of parental alienation. Parental alienation is when basically you taint your children against the other parent. You skew their thinking. You say bad things about the other parent. You, get the kids to side with you. You just make it seem like you're all good and the other parent is all bad. And pretty soon the kids, because they're young and, you know, follow your train of thought, they start believing this too. And they start acting as though and the other parent is bad. I experienced this. Well, I didn't experience this fully. I should probably add that disclaimer, because I never lost contact with my kids. My kids' dad tried that after the divorce, with telling them that I wasn't their mom on his weeks. And I think in one of my episodes, I describe my son's football game where my son was just bawling because they wanted to come see me because I was there at the game, which you should be allowed. I wasn't causing a stink. I wasn't trying to, you know, interfere with anything. I was just there watching my son play, and my kids wanted to come say hi. And their dad flipped out and started this big thing and said I wasn't their parent. And I mean, it was terrible and it was absolutely mortifying. I could never imagine saying or doing those things and acting that way when you see your kids crying. I mean, how in the hell do you sit there and consciously say that the other parent isn't the parent when the kids are just screaming and crying about it? That takes a special kind of demon, I think, in my mind. I just can't even imagine. But we're past that. That lasted a short time. I worked through that. I killed myself and ate my soul so that I could survive that, so that my kids could survive that. So we're past that. That's not what this episode is about. I'm actually referencing my sister in this episode. And that comes specifically from the holidays that we just had. So alienation is turning someone against you. That's what parental alienation is. So alienation is alienating someone. It's probably not always pertaining to children, but alienating someone from someone else. My sister has two sons. And when they were very young, and when she was still married to their dad, they would come here because she lives in a different state. So they would come here in the summers and stay all summer long sometimes. Sometimes it was a couple of weeks. They would stay here and take a break from all the crap that they had going because my sister's lifestyle is different. It's very uppity. It's very scheduled. You know, they don't have a lot of time for cooking, so most of the meals are McDonald's. They're in an area where you don't go fishing, you don't go camping, you don't do stuff like that. So when they would come here, that's what we did. Of course, I was with my kid's dad, and that's what we did. We would let the kids be kids. They played outside. They went camping. We went fishing. I mean, we just did everything. We just spoiled the boys horribly. We watched all kinds of movies. You know, we just did summer stuff that they didn't get to do normally. And it was great. It was beautiful. It was a wonderful thing. I divorced the kid's dad, and they still came sometimes. I think they came maybe once or twice after that. My sister came once or twice after that. Then she divorced their dad, and that's when everything changed. I had married my current husband. I had started college. She had gotten sick, or at least reported that she had gotten sick. My dad had gotten sick and subsequently passed. And all of that kind of was happening in the same period of time. And that's when everything changed. So the kids were still young. They were still going through shit there. They should have been able to come. I invited them several times. My sister, I think, made it one time when my dad was in the hospital, and that was it. That time was when I started hearing the stories, and I've referenced this in other episodes. But that's when I started hearing that that the boys, although they were so young, had been privy to some of the crap during my divorce. One of them made some snide comment about the kids' dad and a gun or something. This was stuff that I had told my sister in confidence, and you definitely shouldn't be sharing that with young kids. My kids didn't know that. So it was obvious to me, and I knew that she talked about me to friends, and you know, my life was always just kind of the funny story for her to feel superior, I guess. She shared it with her friends. I experienced that when I went to see her, you know, that time. I think I told you guys about that when, you know, I don't know. I don't want to get into it. I don't even want to think about it. But I knew that she had kind of mocked my life to her friends. And in this instance with the boys, I knew that she had included the boys in that. She had been mocking my life, my kids' lives, you know, everything to her young sons. And that's how parental alienation starts. That's how this whole thing gets going. So it's a really fine line that you have to walk with your kids, with your offspring. You know, you want them to be able to think for themselves. You don't want your thoughts to taint. You want them to be wary of bad people, and if you know somebody's bad, then, you know, you tell them. But you don't share private stories like that unless it's something that's going to cause them harm. It's just they don't need it at that age. So, you know, I should state too that during this whole divorce, my sister's divorce, that we had heard horrible stories about her husband. You know, I told you the whole herpes deal. I mean, she was the one sleeping around, but the story was that the herpes had come from him. It was an old strain that he had given her. Well, I'm not sure I believe that. Just because I know my sister, and I'm not trying to be terrible here, but that's just a fact of life. When you sleep around with a million people, those are the risks that you take. And granted, I don't know his past. I don't know his sleeping lifestyle. So I, you know, am only going off of what I know. So I could be totally incorrect, but I'm just saying that that is part of it. Her spreading those stories. So she started it alienating the boys against him. And I guess that it just kind of flooded onto me then. Maybe when he wasn't around so much. I don't know. So I feel like I have been alienated from my nephews. When she cut me off of social media, and this is all, again, in a previous episode, you know, she cut off my family. Her boys were a part of that. They cut us off too. And although my daughter has gone there to see them, and I think she may be friends with someone on social media now, you know, there was a time when we weren't. And the boys, I will send invites and they won't accept them. And my one nephew messages me through Facebook. So I know he still thinks about me and cares about me. And I send cards and money and, you know, for every holiday. And he always thanks me graciously and they cash their checks. And so I know they get those. They get the pictures that I send. But I don't get anything in response from my sister. And I think that's a whole part of the thing. Like, I'm now, in her mind, and probably in at least one of her son's minds, I'm the bad guy. That's part of the alienation. So I've been cut off. I don't get cards. I don't get pictures. You know, I don't get anything. I'm not privy to anything in their life anymore. I send a Christmas card to them every year with money. I send pictures. I send birthday cards. I send stuff all the time. And the last thing I got from my sister was several years ago, and it was a broken candle. And I'm sure it was broken in the mail, so she didn't send me a broken candle. But it was a candle, and it was because I had sent her a gift. And there was no card, no picture. I don't send her gifts anymore. I stopped that when the phone calls got really bad and she wanted me to support her. And I support her emotionally. I would support her other ways if I could, but I'm not financially stable enough to support her in her, you know, $500,000 home. That's just stupid. So I can't support her like that. Anyway, on this note, I'm going to pause just really quick, and I am going to throw in one of those ad thingies. So bear with me. I'm going to throw one in just really quick. I'll be right back. So hang on. All right, thanks for bearing with me. So the point is that, you know, even though her and I don't talk, which I have my viewpoint, you guys have heard that many times, she has her viewpoint, you know, I'm this terrorist person that, you know, called her a bad mother, which I didn't. You'll have to hear that whole story in another podcast. another episode. I don't know. There was like three different things. I called her a bad mother. I called her a plagiarizer, which she was, again, in another episode. And then there was something else. But from my perspective, we're still sisters. I mean, that just seems so minuscule in the whole scheme of things with sickness and COVID and just everything. It just seems so stupid at this point. But for her, she clings to that. And I'm not sure why. I have my theories. And Mom would say that she is sick because of her illness, which I'm still not even sure I believe she has. So why in the world would it hurt, at least at Christmas, to send a fucking picture of your family? I just don't even understand that thought process. You know, I don't see the boys. We're not connected. She's, you know, made sure of that. So why in the world would I not be allowed to have a fucking photo? I've always sent photos. I've always sent family stuff. It just doesn't seem fair in the scheme of things. It just doesn't seem right. Part of the issues that I have with my mom, well, that's all on me and my mom, but I feel like part of the issues are probably instigated also by my sister. I feel like this alienation notion that she spreads to her kids, some of this probably is spread to my mom. I'm sure of it. It has to be. So when I call my mom and she, well, I should say when I call her back because we don't speak, but when I call my mom and she starts on about how, you know, I really need to be the one to fix it, and well, I am the one that called her a bad mom. She doesn't know that. She's not online. That came from my sister. That's all my sister's thoughts. My mom is very old now. And so because we don't talk and because I can't stomach all of this anymore, that's what she gets and that's what she believes. So the alienation piece is happening from my sister as well. Maybe it's always happened like that. I don't know. I wouldn't put it past either of them. So it's the same thing. It's that, you know, constant, well, she is bad. She is bad. She did this. She did that. You know, it's that constant belittling and backstabbing. And it's all this stuff that I can't stomach anymore, which is why I keep my distance. For example, on Christmas Day, I had the kids here. You know, my husband's here. We're sitting down to dinner and my phone rings and it is my mom. And I figured it's Christmas, so I will answer the phone. And I put it on speaker and it was my mom. And she said, you know, Merry Christmas. I love you. It's kind of that same old stuff. It's like that. It's like what people tell her to say and then she shares it, you know, just like she called me one time and said, well, I was told that I have to tell you this. Well, she's just doing what she is told. So she has some, I don't even remember right now because my brain is on alienation, but she has a medical issue that's apparently hereditary. And so she was told to make sure that we knew. So that's her message. I was told to tell you, so here you go. Because she wouldn't tell me otherwise, because it doesn't matter to her. That's not, you know, I'm just some stranger in an alley, you know. So anyway, on Christmas Day, she calls me And I said, oh, Merry Christmas. I hope that your Christmas is going well. You know, kind of the nonchalant Christmas greetings type of a deal. And I said, by the way, you're on speaker. And she says, what? And I said, you're on speaker. The kids are here. Say hi, kids. So the kids said hi. And you could tell mom was very rushed and trying to get off of the phone. And finally she said, after like 2 minutes, you know, granted she hasn't spoken to the kids for years that I know of. She always tells me on these messages, I love you, I miss you, I just want to talk to everybody and see everybody. So here's her chance. We're all on the phone. I'm cordial. It's Christmas. I say Merry Christmas. And her response was, well, I'm at my friend's house, so I have to go. So she didn't call thinking that she would talk and it would be a Christmas phone call. She called because it was expected from somebody there, and we caught her off guard by wanting to talk. So she didn't want to. She wasn't set up to do that. It wasn't in her purview. And if you think about that, that is very sad. That's just a very sad way of thinking. That's just a very horrible way to treat your family. It's the very epitome of why I keep my distance right there. But if you try to explain that to somebody on the phone, you know, to her, that doesn't happen. They don't understand. They don't know what the heck you're talking about. You're the crazy one. You're the bad one. So I guess, I don't know, maybe I'm throwing this out in this episode because it's fresh in my mind, but because, I don't know, maybe I want somebody else to see it. Maybe, you know, I want somebody to understand. I guess that's kind of what all of these episodes are, all of my podcast is that you kind of just feel the need to get your side of the story out there. And so I guess this is just my side of the story. On that note, I think I'm going to close now. I'm probably over time. I do appreciate you all listening. I appreciate you putting up with my, a month-long hiatus. I needed it for the holidays. Sometimes you just can't force your brain to be happy and still come down and think about all this shit. And that's just what it is. It's just shit. And so it was good to have a break from it. On that same note, these podcasts, I know I've tried to do as many as I can in a week, and with work and everything, they've kind of come down to one episode a week, but from here forward, there'll be one a week. And the reason for that is because it's just really too much. It just weighs on me daily. And then I start thinking about what my next episode is going to be like. And so you're starting to think about that all the time. And it's just way too heavy. It's just way too much. It starts making me depressed. You guys have probably heard that and noticed that in some of my episodes. So anyway, going forward, one episode a week. I hope that's going to still wet your whistle. And I have no idea on day. The day is going to depend on work schedules. All right. So anyway, I thank you for listening. I wish you all good health and happiness in the weeks and months and years to come. So thanks so much for listening. Bye-bye.